Masechet Berachot, Perek Bet, Mishnah He. So after discussing in Mishnah He a few Mishnayot ago about the fact that a Hatan is exempt from reciting Kiryat Shema because his mind is focused on the mitzvah of consummating his marriage, the Mishnah over here is discussing, is he allowed to say Kiryat Shema if he'd like to? So we mentioned over there in the last Mishnah that Rabban Gamliel was somebody who did. He felt that he couldn't hold back from accepting Malchut Shamayim even for one day. So he said Kiryat Shema on his wedding night. So the question over here, though, is can anybody really do that? Can anybody grab a hold of this mitzvah even in a situation where they are patur, where they are exempt from saying it? Mishnah says, Hatan, im ratza likrot Kiryat Shema laila harishon, koreh. A hatan, a groom, if he'd like to recite Kiryat Shema on the wedding night, he's allowed to. The Rambam writes, though, in this situation, it's obviously a groom who feels that he could have the proper focus and proper kavanah during the Shema. The next part of the Mishnah says, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo kol harotze litol Hashem yitol. This mitzvah is not for everybody. You can't just say, oh, the guy's exempt, but he can grab onto it if he wants to. No. Only somebody with a very well-known reputation for being a hacham, a wise one, of being somebody who's very meticulous with his mitzvot, only he can grab onto this mitzvah even when he is exempt. Otherwise, it looks arrogant. Regular guy who isn't known for that, all of a sudden it comes to Shema, he's starting to look like, oh, he's going super mahmir. He's going to be super strict. Come on, who are you kidding? That's an arrogant move. You're trying to make it like you're on this higher level when in reality you aren't, because you can't have the proper kavanah. The Shulchan Aruch does say that nowadays, he said all year long, we don't have proper kavanah. So as opposed to them in those days where they would have proper kavanah, but then just on the wedding night they wouldn't have proper kavanah because they were engrossed in this mitzvah. He said, us, all year long, we don't have proper kavanah. So the common custom, says the Shulchan Aruch, is that nowadays, on the wedding night, the hatan does say Kiryat Shema. Masechet Berachot, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. The theme of this Mishnah is continuing what we've been talking about in the previous Perek, which is a person being exempt from Kiryat Shema because of Tirda Shel Mitzvah. Because his mind is consumed right now with fulfilling another mitzvah, so he can't focus properly on Kiryat Shema. Mishnah is talking about Mishe Meto Mutal Lefanav, somebody who has Meto, a dead relative in front of him. Not literally in front of him, but his mind is focused on the responsibility of ensuring that his relative gets buried and gets the proper honor, the proper Kavod Hamet. He's called an onen before the burial process. Mishnah says, "Patur mikiryat shema umina tefila umina tefilin." He is exempt from saying the kiryat shema. He doesn't have to pray, and he doesn't have to put on his tefilin. And really, it's the rest of the mitzvot aseh as well, the rest of the positive commands. But we specifically mark these three, and we mention these three, because these are the well-known big three that involved all Malchut Shamayim. But obviously, and Kalva Homer, the other mitzvot aseh also would not apply to this individual. The Mishnah continues and says, Nosei Hamita, at the funeral, the people who were carrying the casket, v'chilufehen, and those substitutes, the people, once it gets too tough to carry, they need a switch with other people. And also because everybody wants a portion, a zechut, in the kavod hamet, in giving the dead his last respects. So everybody really wants to get involved in carrying in some way, so they switch with the people who started to carry, v'chilufehen, and the substitutes for the people who substituted. So a third level, of the third shift of people who are going to carry the casket, actually finehah mita, those who are before the mita, the casket, waiting for their turn to carry, ve'etchel ahara mita, and those who have already went and they escorted the met, etchel amita sorech bahen piturin, those that are carrying the mita, that are carrying the casket now, or will carry it at some point later on, in the funeral procession, they are patur. They are exempt from saying Kiryat Shema. They are engaged in a mitzvah. And those people who didn't carry it, who are waiting in line to carry, it could happen that at any moment, they're asked to switch. So therefore, we can't obligate them to say Shema, even if they think they have enough time to say the whole Shema before they're called upon. We don't know the exact moment that they're going to be asked to switch, so we say they are exempt as well. But those who are just accompanying the funeral procession, or those who already went, they carried the mitah, the casket, before, hayavin, they are now obligated in Kiryat Shema, since they're not currently engaged in the mitzvah. They were engaged in the mitzvah previously, but now their portion of the mitzvah is over. Or those people, like I said, who never really carried it, were just part of the funeral. Generally, they are hayavin, they are obligated to say Kiryat Shema. But elu va'elu piturin mina tefila. But everybody at the funeral of that moment is exempt from saying tefila. The Bar Tinura brings down two different answers. Why even the people who aren't carrying and never will carry the casket, why are they patur from tefila? Why do they not have to pray? He brings down the first answer, that really, as opposed to Shema, which is de'oraita, which is from the Torah, which is biblical, and people have to say it if they're not currently engaged in the mitzvah. With tefillah, since tefillah is really only derabanan, it's from the rabbis, they're going to be lenient and say people don't have to pray at that moment because they're involved in the levaya, they're involved in escorting the dead body. So therefore, there is a sense of kavod hamet, of honoring the deceased. Therefore, we're not going to make them stop and pray when it's only a derabanan. A second reason brought down by the Bar Tinura is that when it comes to tefillah, tefillah needs, like we said earlier, when we're talking about the person praying, the worker praying on top of the tree, when it comes to tefillah, you need focus from the start till the end of the Amidah in order to do it right, because it's talking about a person's needs. When it comes to Shema, which is Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim, which is acceptance of the heavenly yoke, really, of course, a person is supposed to focus on the whole thing, but if he focuses on the first line alone of Kiryat Shema, he did what he needs to do. Therefore, we're going to exempt this person because he can't possibly pray at this moment. He can't have the proper focus at that time because in the middle of the funeral, there's so much going on and the sadness that's happening over there, he won't have the ability to focus from beginning to the end of Tefillah as opposed to what he could do with Shema. Shema, those people who aren't actually carrying the mitah, aren't carrying the deceased, or aren't waiting online, they could focus on the first line of Shema at least, and continue to say the rest. And therefore, they're obligated.